And it's a very warm welcome from me, Johnny Bryan, and I welcome you to another episode of the 20 Questions Quiz Podcast. Greetings, quiz enthusiasts, wherever you may be around the world. We're back with yet another thrilling episode of our beloved quiz show, ready to test your knowledge and challenge your intellect. In today's instalment, we're diving deep into a diverse array of topics ranging from history to science, literature to pop culture, and everything in between. So get ready to flex those mental muscles as we embark on an exhilarating journey of discovery. As always, each question is meticulously crafted to intrigue and captivate, offering you the opportunity to showcase your expertise or learn something new along the way. So whether you're a seasoned trivia buff or a curious novice, there's something here for everyone. The rules, as always, 20 questions, each one more challenging than the last. I will read the question twice before the timer starts ticking. 10 seconds to answer. Get it right, you stay in the game. One wrong, and you're out. But before we dive into the quiz, we want to extend a special thank you to all of you, wherever you may be around the world. Your continued support and enthusiasm are what makes this podcast possible. And we're immensely grateful for each and every one of you. We are at 20 Questions Quiz on X. And if you want to get in touch with us, 20questionsquiz@gmail.com. So here we go. Once again, let's jump right into the excitement and let's see how far you can go on this edition of 20 Questions. So we're back once again. Here we go. And what will feature our 1,000th question. Our last question today will be the 1,000th time I've said a question on this podcast. We will look forward to that, and I got something special for you right at the end. But for now, let's see if you can get the previous 19 right. Question number one of 20 is this. In which city would you find the Empire State Building, the Statue of Liberty, and Times Square? In which city would you find the Empire State Building, the Statue of Liberty, and Times Square?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Always an easy start for you. The Empire State Building, the Statue of Liberty, and Times Square are all located in New York City, US. Question number two. Usain Bolt, Carl Lewis, Linford Christie are all Olympic gold medalists in which sport? Usain Bolt, Carl Lewis, Linford Christie are all Olympic gold medalists in which sport?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Usain Bolt, Carl Lewis, and Linford Christie are all Olympic gold medalists in athletics, specifically in track and field. They have achieved success in various sprinting disciplines, such as the 100 and 200 meter races. Staying with sport, and what is the highest score you can get with three darts in a standard game of darts? Question three, what is the highest score you can get with three darts in a standard game of darts?
Five, four, three, two, one.
One of my favourite sports. Love it to bits. In a standard game of darts, the highest score possible with three darts is 180. An achievement I've only done twice in my life. This is achieved by hitting the triple 20, the smaller inner ring of the 20 segment, three times in a row. Each triple 20 is worth 60 points, so 60 by 3 is 180. Question number four. In American football, traditionally, the Super Bowl is played on which day of the week? In American football, traditionally, the Super Bowl is played on which day of the week?
Five, four, three, two, one.
One of the great times that you know spring is on the way and winter is on its way out. When the Super Bowl happens on the first Sunday in February, That is when the Super Bowl traditionally takes place, the championship game in the National Football League. Question 5. Acapulco is a resort in which country? Acapulco is a resort in which country?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Acapulco is a resort city located in Mexico. It is situated on the Pacific coast in the state of Guerrero and is known for its beautiful beaches, vibrant nightlife, and stunning cliff divers. Question number 6. We go now to astronomy for question number 6. The potentially habitable zone around a star where liquid water can exist on orbiting planets because the temperature is not too hot or not too cold is named after which fairy tale character? The potentially habitable zone around a star where liquid water can exist on orbiting planets because the temperature is not too hot or not too cold is named after which fairy tale character?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, you don't need to know astronomy to know this. The clue was in the question. The potentially habitable zone around a star where conditions may be suitable for liquid water to exist on orbiting planets is named after the fairy tale character Goldilocks. It is referred to as the Goldilocks zone. This term comes from the story of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, where Goldilocks tries 3 different bowls of porridge and finds one that is just right. Similarly, the Goldilocks zone represents the region around a star where temperatures are not too hot and not too cold, but just right for liquid water to potentially exist, making it a conducive to the environment of life as we know it. Question number 7. Which flavor of ice cream is said to have been invented in 1929 when William Dreyer used his wife's sewing shears to cut up marshmallows and add them to nuts and chocolate ice cream? Which flavor of ice cream is said to have been invented in 1929 when William Dreyer used his wife's sewing shears to cut up marshmallows and add them to nuts and chocolate ice cream?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, again, a little bit of a clue in the question here if you don't know your ice cream. The year 1929. What happened in that year? It was the Great Depression. And from the Great Depression, we had Rocky Road ice cream. It's a classic flavor that has delighted ice cream lovers for generations. It is renowned for its rich chocolate flavor, crunchy nuts, and soft, gooey marshmallows. The origins of Rocky Road ice cream can be traced back to 1929, when William Dreyer, one of the founders of the Dreyer's Ice Cream Company, created the flavor in response to the economic challenges of the Great Depression. Legend has it that Dreyer was inspired to create a new flavor using the limited ingredients available during the Depression era. With the help of his wife, Josephine, he experimented with different combinations until he came up with the winning formula for Rocky Road ice cream. The story goes that Josephine used her sewing shears to cut up soft marshmallows into bite-sized pieces, which were then added to a mixture of chocolate ice cream and chopped nuts. The resulting flavor combination was an instant hit, providing a delicious escape from the hardships of the time. The name Rocky Road is believed to be inspired by the challenging times of the Great Depression, with the Rocky referring to the rocky economic climate and the road symbolizing the journey through adversity. To question number 8. In the human body, what is the common name for the patella? In the human body, what is the common name for the patella?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The common name for the patella in the human body is the kneecap. The kneecap is the right answer. Question 9 now to fiction. And in fiction, who said that his brother Mycroft could have been the greatest detective who ever lived? In fiction, who said that his brother Mycroft could have been the greatest detective who ever lived?
Five, four, three, two, one.
In fiction, the character who said, his name is Mycroft Holmes. He is 7 years older than I am and 20 times as clever and the best of detectives, save only one that ever lived. Referring to his brother Mycroft is Sherlock Holmes. The line is from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's Sherlock Holmes stories. Question number 10. In 1625, who succeeded James I as King of England? In 1625, who succeeded James I as King of England?
Five, four, three, two, one.
In 1625, following the death of his father, James I, Charles I ascended to the throne as King of England. Charles I was the second son of James I and Anne of Denmark, born on November 19th, 1600. His reign marked a tumultuous period in English history, characterized by conflicts between the monarchy and Parliament, particularly over issues of taxation, religion, and governance. Throughout his reign, Charles I pursued policies that expanded royal authority and promoted the divine right of kings. His belief in absolutism clashed with the growing power of Parliament, which sought to assert its own authority and protect the rights of the people. The conflict between Charles I and Parliament came to a head in 1642, when civil war broke out between royalist supporters of the king, the Cavaliers, and parliamentarian forces, the Roundheads. The war lasted for several years and resulted in significant loss of life and upheaval across England. Ultimately, Charles I was defeated by parliamentarian forces led by Oliver Cromwell, and he was tried, captured, and executed for high treason in 1649. His execution marked the first time in English history that a reigning monarch was publicly executed, and it ushered in a period of republican rule known as the Commonwealth under Cromwell's leadership. Halfway through this edition of 20 Questions. Subjects to come on film, spices, vaccination, athletics, bridges, and bank heists. But first, question 11, everyone's favourite subject, Shakespeare. Question 11 of 20. I heard the collective groan, by the way. As soon as I said Shakespeare, I could hear the collective groan worldwide. I know how much you love it. Question 11 of 20 is this. Which Shakespeare play is set in Venice for the first act and then a seaport in Cyprus for the second act? Which Shakespeare play is set in Venice for the first act and then a seaport in Cyprus for the second act?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The answer to question 11 is Othello, one of Shakespeare's most famous tragedies, believed to have been written between 1601 and 1604. The play is set against the backdrop of the Venetian Republic during the early 16th century, and its plot unfolds across multiple locations, including Venice and Cyprus. The play opens in Venice, a bustling city known for its canals, commerce, and vibrant cultural scene. In Act 1, the audience is introduced to the main characters, including Othello, a Moorish general in the Venetian army, Desdemona, his wife, Iago, Othello's ensign, and Cassio, a young and promising officer. The setting in Venice establishes the social and political context of the story and sets the stage for the events that follow. In Act 2, the setting shifts to Cyprus, the Mediterranean island that serves as a strategic military outpost for the Venetian Republic. Othello, Desdemona, and other characters are stationed in Cyprus as part of the Venetian forces deployed to defend the island against the threat of invasion by the Ottoman Empire. The change in setting to Cyprus marks a significant shift in the narrative as the characters grapple with new challenges and conflicts in this foreign and isolated environment. Question 12 of 20. We move on now to spice. And from which plant do we get the spice saffron?
Five, four, three, two, one.
One of the most valuable and sought after spices in the world, saffron. It's obtained from the saffron crocus plant, the crocus, scientifically known as Crocus sativus. Saffron is harvested from the stigma, which is the female reproductive part of the flower. It is painstakingly hand-picked and requires a significant amount of labor, which contributes to its high cost. Saffron is prized for its vibrant color, distinct flavor, and aromatic qualities, and is used in a wide range of culinary dishes, as well as in traditional medicine and perfumery. Question 13 of 20 is this film. Which 1933 film and its 2005 remake ends with the line, "It was beauty that killed the beast"? Which 1933 film and its 2005 remake ends with the line, "It was beauty that killed the beast"?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The 1933 film and its 2005 remake that both end with the line, "It was beauty that killed the beast," was King Kong. This iconic line is spoken at the conclusion of both versions of the film, serving as a poignant reflection on the tragic fate of the title character, King Kong, and the role played by Beauty, particularly the beauty of the character and Darrow in his downfall. Question 14 to science and vaccines now. 14 of 20 is this. In the 1950s, two scientists created vaccines against polio. Jonas Salk was one, who was the other? In the 1950s, two scientists created vaccines against polio. Jonas Salk was one, who was the other?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The other scientist who created a vaccine against polio in the 1950s alongside Jonas Salk was Albert Sabin. While Jonas Salk developed an inactivated polio vaccine, an IPV, Albert Sabin developed an oral polio vaccine, OPV. Both vaccines played crucial roles in the global effort to eradicate polio. Question 15 of 20. On the animal kingdom. I love these type of questions. What is the name for a collective group of eagles? What is the name for a collective group of eagles?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Such of them have such beautiful names, like, you know, you have a herd of sheep or, you know, a flock of geese. You know, a collective group of eagles is called a convocation. A convocation of eagles. This is used to refer to a group of eagles in certain contexts. Look these up in the future, everybody, because I'm going to use these questions a lot for collective groups, collective nouns for animals. But the ones for a group of eagles is called a convocation. Trust me, that is one you'll remember tomorrow. We have reached the final five. Questions to come on athletics, bridges, bank heists, a special 1,000th question to come at the end, but question 16 of 20 deals with another type of collective nouns, this time in collections. What does an arctophile collect? What does an arctophile collect? I will spell it A-R-C-T-O-P-H-I-L-E.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now we go back to Greek time here, and Greek words in fact, to understand the meaning of these types of words, like bibliophile, you know, it's a lover of books. But what does an arctophile collect? They collect, in fact, teddy bears. The term arctophile is derived from the Greek words arctos, which means bear, and phile, which means lover or enthusiast. Therefore, an arctophile is someone who has a deep affection for teddy bears and collects them as a hobby. Question 17, we had an early question about athletics and a final five question on athletics as well. Who, in 1968, was the first man to run under 10 seconds for the 100 metres? Question 17, who, in 1968, was the first man to run under 10 seconds for the 100 metres?
Five, four, three, two, one.
The first man to run the 100 metres in under 10 seconds was Jim Hines. He achieved this feat on June the 20th, 1968, during the US Olympic trials in Sacramento, California. Specifically, his time was 9.9 seconds, marking a historic milestone in track and field history. Question 18 of 20 is this. Bridges. What is the name of the longest bridge in the world? What is the name of the longest bridge in the world?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Question 18 of 20. I asked you, what is the name of the longest bridge in the world? It stands at 102 miles long. Incredible. It's called the Danyang Kunshan Grand Bridge, located in Jiangsu province in China. It is an engineering marvel that stretches across the vast plains and waterways of eastern China. Completed in 2010, this bridge is a key element of the Beijing-Shanghai high-speed railway, which is one of the busiest and most important high-speed rail lines in China. Spanning a total length of 102.4 miles, the Danyang Kunshan Grand Bridge holds the Guinness World Record for the longest bridge in the world. Its construction required extensive planning, engineering expertise, and innovative techniques to overcome the challenges posed by the region's complex terrain, including rivers, lakes, and marshlands. The bridge's superstructure consists primarily of pre-stressed concrete beams, supported by piers and pillars constructed on land and in the water. The design incorporates spans of various lengths to accommodate the diverse landscape, with longer spans over water bodies and shorter spans over land. One of the remarkable aspects of the Danyang Kunshan Grand Bridge is its seamless integration with the surrounding environment, minimizing its impact on local ecosystems and communities. Environmental considerations such as wildlife corridors and habitat conservation measures were incorporated into the design and construction process to mitigate ecological disturbances. The Danyang Kunshan Grand Bridge in Jiangsu Province, China, the longest bridge in the world. We have two to go on this edition of 20 questions. The penultimate question deals with bank heists. Now, how there's not been a film made about this question is beyond me. Here it is. The largest bank robbery in history occurred on March the 18th, 2003, when a sum of nearly $1 billion was stolen from the central bank of which country? The largest bank robbery in history occurred on March the 18th, 2003, when a sum of nearly $1 billion was stolen from the central bank of which country?
Five, four, three, two, one.
Now, I'm sure that, I'm amazed, in fact, there hasn't been a film made about this. If there has, I apologise and I must have missed it. This is an amazing story. The largest bank robbery in history took place on March the 18th, 2003. What happened during that time in history? It was the early stages of the Iraq War. It's often referred to as the Iraqi bank heist. The central bank of Iraq, located in Baghdad, was targeted with meticulous planning that resulted in effect of an estimated $1 billion in cash. The heist unfolded amidst the chaos and instability of the Iraq War, which began with the US-led invasion of Iraq on March the 20th, 2003, as coalition forces advanced towards Baghdad. Looting and lawlessness erupted in the capital and other major cities, exacerbating the already dire humanitarian situation. 2 days before, the perpetrators of the bank robbery capitalized on the breakdown of security and order in the aftermath of the invasion. They gained access to the central bank's vaults, where vast sums of cash were stored, and systematically looted the facility over a period of several hours. Reports suggest that the stolen funds were loaded onto trucks and transported out of the country to destinations unknown. The exact identities of the perpetrators and the ultimate fate of the stolen money remain shrouded in mystery, with speculation ranging from organized crime syndicates to elements within the Iraqi regime. The Iraqi bank heist stands as a stark example of the lawlessness and corruption that often accompany armed conflict and political upheaval. It also underscores the challenges of rebuilding institutions and restoring stability in the aftermath of war. In the years following the heist, efforts were made to strengthen security measures and reform Iraq's banking system to prevent similar incidents from occurring in the future. However, the legacy of the Iraqi bank heist continues to haunt that country, serving as a reminder of the profound human and economic costs of conflict and instability. And I'm sure there's a Hollywood movie to be made about it in the near future, no doubt. $1 billion in cash stolen from the central bank of Iraq in 2003. So we have made it. We have made it. The final question on this edition of 20 Questions. If you got the previous 19 right, fair play to you. One to come. And this for me is an honourable milestone. This is the 1,000th question I will say on this podcast. The previous 49 podcasts that are uploaded for you to listen to wherever you may be and wherever you are in the world, ranging from general knowledge to music and sport, this is the 50th episode, so this will be the 1,000th question, and I have to pay homage to my hometown by doing it. I'm born and bred in Wrexham, North Wales, of course, has hit the headlines in the past couple of years with two famous Hollywood owners of our football club in Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney. However, there is one other famous person that lies in the grounds of our church here in the town. Here is the question about him. Question 20 of 20 on 20 questions is this. The 1,000th question on this podcast is this. The founder of which famous university is buried in the grounds of St. Giles Cathedral in Wrexham, North Wales? The founder of which famous university is buried in the grounds of St. Giles Cathedral in Wrexham, North Wales?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
So, have you got it? Have you took a wild stab in the dark of a famous university? If you went for one in the UK, you would be wrong. You've got to go to the United States. His name is Elihu Yale, the founder of Yale University, born on April the 5th, 1649 in Boston, Massachusetts. He was the son of Thomas Yale, a wealthy merchant, and Anne Lloyd. Elihu Yale's family moved to London when he was a child, where he received his education at a grammar school in London and later attended the prestigious Charterhouse School. After completing his education, Yale embarked on a career in the British East India Company, where he rose through the ranks and eventually became the governor of Fort St. George in Madras, which is now Chennai, India, in 1687. During his tenure as governor of Fort St. George, Elihu Yale amassed significant wealth through trade and other commercial ventures. He also made notable contributions to the development of Madras, including the establishment of schools and the construction of public buildings. In 1718, Elihu Yale made a substantial donation to the Collegiate School of Connecticut, which had been founded in 1701 in the colony of Connecticut. In recognition of this generosity, the school was renamed Yale College in his honor. Today, Yale University is one of the world's leading academic institutions, renowned for its excellence in education and research. Elihu Yale spent his later years in England, where he died on July the 8th, 1721 in London. He was buried in the churchyard of St. Giles Church in Wrexham, Wales, where he still lies today, which was the parish church of his wife, Catherine Yale. His grave is marked by a prominent monument commemorating his legacy as the benefactor of Yale University and his contributions in education and philanthropy. Yale University in the USA, named after Elihu Yale, who is buried here in Wrexham, where I'm recording this podcast right now. So there you have it. Have you achieved top grades on 20 questions this week? Let me know on X at 20 questions quiz, or get in touch with me on email, 20questionsquiz@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you wherever you may be in the world. This podcast continues to grow. Over 80 countries download it, and it continues. So why don't you test your friends, test your family, test your workmates? Whether this is a mental workout during a physical workout, a walk in the park, or just listening to me in front of the fire, wherever you may be in the world, thank you so much for your company. Till next time, we're back on Thursdays, every Thursdays. New episodes hit at 6 a.m. Don't forget to subscribe. From me, Johnny Bryan, wherever you may be in the world, thank you so much for your company again. See you soon. Bye for now.